We're an interactive studio named Firstborn Multimedia. We do mostly web work, but also do a lot of film, 3D, and external interactive installations. I'm joined by two panelists from the film sector here who've released a film called The Marconi Brothers, Marco and Michael. And today, I guess what we'll do is we'll take a look at the existing site that they had and kind of go through step by step a few tips and ways that we kind of pimped the site out and kind of brought up to a place where the press and audience could really be engaged by it. So to just kind of kick it off, I'm going to show you guys some motion reels and some trailers from the film. So let's take a look at that. Of course not. Thank you, Windows. Okay. Looks like a little stretched, but. Some of the work from Firstborn, and it's primarily to show you guys that our two industries are getting closer and closer together. The web's getting definitely a lot more cinematic. There's a lot more video and 3D that's getting put out there on the web, and I think our two industries are getting a lot closer. Let's take a quick look at the Marconi trailer, too, so you're familiar with the film.
I thought you two guys had a wall-to-wall in Port Jeff.
Dude, what the hell are we doing here, man? You're too smart guys, right? I mean...
No, that's half true.
What's the matter with you?
What'd I tell you? The big college degree, and now we're never going to hear the end of it.
Hey, Pop.
What do you want now, Anthony?
I quit.
I love this guy!
They don't want to work in the store no more. That's fine. But they better kiss the free room and board goodbye.
Oh!
You free this weekend?
This weekend, yeah, yes.
Announcement. We are officially starting new careers in the video business.
You look like a couple of waiters.
You are gonna be my eyes and my ears. Everything you see, everything you hear, I wanna know.
Dude, I think we get an entree at this thing.
Who the hell is Luis Burns?
He's the island's number one wedding and event videographer.
I'm gonna get my belt back. Videographer of the year.
We stumbled into paradise here. Photography assistant, my God.
She's got this librarian thing going on. I bet she's a firecracker in a sack. Hi, how you doing?
Are you on drugs?
Carmine, this is a trial run.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm not going back to that store with my tail between my legs.
Anthony, you gotta relax, man. This is all good.
No, it's not all good, Carmine.
Because you get to screw around.
And I'm stuck here doing all the work.
Hey, you're missing that tile store now, huh?
The most important thing is that you keep your head in the game. Oh! Because there are no take twos in this business.
As a symbol of my vow. And with...
Hey, I'll call you back, okay, buddy?
You want a couple rounds? You want to step into my office? Let's go.
Oh, my God! Say uncle!
No, you say uncle. Yeah, I'll pop your freaking head off.
Your mother.
Nice. Good one.
Your mother.
Okay, so... how many people out here are either filmmakers or producers or looking to push? Wow, yeah. So usually I'm in front of a bunch of interactive people. So this time around is kind of like a service to you guys. What I did was I went through the many films that were being shown here at South by Southwest with two criteria. One, you know, how much of an attachment or how much I enjoyed the trailer that I watched, and two, how poor of a web presence did that site or did that movie have when I was looking at it? And, you know, I mean, filmmakers, you know, are not interactive designers. Filmmakers need to make a quality film. They don't need to be inundated with all these tasks and trying to find the best practices. So hopefully from today's panel you can learn a few techniques or just a few workarounds to kind of get your film out there and marketed on the web. So what I'd like to do is bring up the original web presence that I saw when I had watched the Marconi trailer. So I came to the site and, you know, it was just standard information, some email and a link to email and the trailer. So I would click the trailer and then, you know, I'd sit there and wait for a bit. It's just a raw, unedited MPEG file. And for the most part, a web audience will get, you know, extremely bored within 10 or 15 seconds, and they'll just pull away. So, you know, we're finally into the film, and we've got, you know, a very small formatted video, which I didn't think really did the proper credit to the film. I thought the film was a lot richer than what I was seeing on the web, so I think they were like the obvious choice for a good pimping. So, and you know, I've never pimped anyone before either. I'm not exhibit, so, you know, this is my first time pimping. I hope it goes well.
We're glad to be pimped.
Okay, so we know what the first site looked like. Let's talk about what we needed to do. What we needed to do is, you know, kind of look at it at a phased approach. I knew they were coming to South by Southwest. They wanted to sell at the theater. They wanted to get their film in front of as many people as they could down here, whether they're investors or just, you know, film enthusiasts in general. So the most marketable, I guess, asset that I had to work with was the trailer. It was funny, it was a good script, and it was a good story. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. So I thought what I would do is meet with the filmmakers, get as many assets as I could in a very short time. I think we were working with about a 2-week time frame from the time we met and from the time we came down here. So we had an initial kind of brain dump, talked about some ideas, got from them, you know, a higher resolution QuickTime file. I got press documentation. I got everyone's biographies, synopsis about the film, so on and so forth. We also discussed possibilities of growing outside of just a website. It's important to have your own web presence, but it's also very important to kind of spread one's tentacles out, and that's to kind of, make the most of social media and make the most of existing services that are on the web that help support you guys in marketing your film. And those places, of course, everyone knows, you know, there's a Facebook page, there's a MySpace page, YouTube, Flickr, are all different separate tangents that you can kind of spread out and get your message across the web. You know, sites like YouTube are great because there are millions and millions of eyeballs on that site on a daily basis, and your only task is to really get your metadata into your page and get your video circulated. What that also allows you to do is kind of use it as like a repository. So if you're going to be visiting blogs and want to embed video clips, you kind of look at it as just like your closet to keep files, and you don't have to worry about expensive servers or running into streaming costs. There are, you know, additional costs with that. Most hosting packages allow you to store files, but aren't really optimized for streaming content. So it's always nice to have sites like Vimeo or Verb or YouTube actually host that material for you and separate that material from things like contextual information like biographies, text, images. I've definitely built sites for smaller budgets, like with foundations or businesses who are focused on philanthropy, and they don't have a great budget, and they don't have $500,000 to spread around for web marketing. So, you know, I've been able to utilize these external sources, like these social media sites, for purely for the hosting of images and video. So you can build your core site, but be actually hosting all your images on Flickr, which is twofold. You know, you get to use it on your site, you get to keep your disk space down if you don't have an expensive hosting package, and you also get the added bonus of having this additional layer of distribution, being out there in the social networking sites. I would say that one of the smarter things to do is to kind of look around. Google's always your best friend. There are a million different small applications built by people who just love building small, useful applications for things like streaming video within Flash, so people don't get prompted for downloads, or to be able to compress that that video down. As you guys know, when you're coming out of like your Final Cut or whatever you're working with, you've typically got pretty huge files, and to get that stuff out on the web in a very digestible format is often a challenge. Flash is usually the best method of deployment. I like Flash. I've been using it for, 10 years now. It's got a web user penetration number that's ridiculous. It's like 97% of people have it on their machines. It used to be a challenge years ago to get people to go into a full Flash experience simply because there was a plugin involved. But nowadays, we've kind of gotten past that. Why don't we take a quick look at what we've decided to do with the site, and we can explain in phases how we went about relaunching this site. Okay, so typical landing page for any size budget film. Basic information and a trailer. This trailer's been pimped. It's a bit bigger now. And it's using Flash to distribute. And now we can do nice things like, you know, full screen video. Let's watch it for a few minutes while I get a drink of water.
Guys, right? I mean,
yeah, that's half true.
It's
the matter with you?
What I tell you, the big college degree, and now we're never going to hear the end of it.
Hey, Pop.
What do you want now, Anthony?
I quit.
I love this guy!
They don't want to work in the store no more, that's fine. But they better kiss the free room and board goodbye.
Oh. Party's over.
You free this weekend?
This weekend, yeah. Yes.
Announcement. We are officially starting new careers in the video business.
You look like a couple of waiters.
You are gonna be my eyes and my ears.
So like one thing you kind of
everything you see, everything you hear, format, I want to know.
Which, I think is always infinitely more attractive. And the streaming speed, the film started relatively quick. It's being hosted locally, of course, here for this presentation, but if you go to Marconi Brothers, MarconiBros.com, you'll have a similar experience. So we were able to take, a 100 or 150 megabyte file and kind of crunch it down into a 10 meg streaming file so that on initial load, you're asking the user for a very small amount of data to be accepted, and the trailer will start almost immediately. So we've seen this. We'll continue through to the site. Okay. So a very kind of like basic and clean approach is what we took. We realized that there were key bits of mainstay content that a film website would require. That would be the trailer, which we've watched, would be cast biographies, as well as crew and filmmaker bios. There would be a synopsis of the film. And then there would be a press section. That press section would contain electronic press kit and can grow out. You can use that to drop alternate trailers, clips from the film, photo packs, information for bloggers. You can create like a blogger's toolkit, which will expand your reach to market the film. You can put together, very simple documentation and embed tags, just like you would see on YouTube, where you can actually have that trailer just embedded into anyone's blog, and it'll just be calling the file remotely from your server. And then, of course, any relevant links to social media pages like YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, etc. So the site leads off. It's got a little bit of a news or a blog section. All of this content is externalized. When I say externalized, it doesn't sit within the Flash file. It's an actual external text file. What that does, that does two really nice things. One, I don't need to go back into these files and make small updates or spelling changes or anything that might be quite minor. And two, it really kind of enables the filmmakers themselves to act as site administrators or webmasters, and to be able to add content, change content relatively quickly and without any kind of knowledge of Flash or anything difficult in programming. So if you can cut and paste in a Word document, you can update the site. It's really quite easy. Very simple, clean navigation. Everything's got a very slight branded tone to it, and this is kind of going to lead into a few other points I'd like to make about what you guys are doing prior to launching your site in preparation for it, and that will go all the way back to when you guys are actually shooting the film itself, is to kind of take into consideration that the web is this other platform, and it's its own kind of separate beast in itself. Now, if you remember in the trailer that I showed, actually a promo reel, there were Ninja, there were many different video assets that we used for client work. Now, when you're shooting, maybe take into consideration very basic techniques that you guys already employ in filmmaking, like shooting on green screen or creating content that you will specifically use later on in marketing your film for the web. There's a million different ways to go about it. There's ideas about extending the dialogue of your film and maybe branching off into different tangents just to market it. There was a very strong character in this film, a Long Island filmmaker, and one of these ideas we had was to maybe create just a website based around this character and send that out as kind of a parallel marketing tool. Of course, everything would drive back to Marconi Brothers' website and any other web presence that they had, but to be able to think of your characters as tools that can be marketed separate or independent of the film is another kind of interesting technique. You guys are all storytellers one way or another, and I just think that the websites are usually like one of your strongest tools for marketing, but it's usually not given as much thought as it probably should. I know from working with my clients, usually, and you know, I work with Microsoft, HP, Sheraton, Hilton, and for the most part, you know, they're starting to understand interactive, but they're still throwing us assets from like a 30-second or a 60-second spot, and they're saying, you know, webify this stuff or make it awesome. And you know, unless you really go into the whole production with this in mind, you're really not going to get optimal assets to use. What I'd like to do now is maybe talk to the filmmakers and ask them a few questions about like challenges that they faced in getting their movie out in front of some people, press, investors, and public. Like, when was the first time you thought about your website? Did you already have the film in the can? Did you guys shoot it? When did you first start thinking about using the web?
I think it was when we were trying to raise funds that we wanted. We're trying to reach out to investors who weren't just in New York where we live, but all over. And we wanted to put whatever we could about our shorts and our bios on this web and our cast that we had attached at that point on our website. And I think we also made a separate part where you could download the business prospectus. So that was when if that's correct, that's when we first really reached out and started using the web.
It was done, at the beginning phases of film production, you've got no money, and everything you've got you want to put into your film. You don't want to spend a lot of money on your website. So we just had a friend do something, and it was very, very cheap looking, and it just got us up there as a functional tool. It was not selling the brand of the film yet. It really was just, you know, functionary, thing that we had to had a use for at pre-production. And then once we cut the trailer, I think that's when we thought, all right, well, let's at least get the trailer up there so we have something on the web that can start to promote the film, and that's what we ended up. What he showed you initially there, that was where we kind of, after we had no longer a need for the investment part of it, we used it as a way to get the trailer out there.
I think something you said that would have been very helpful to us is that we didn't know how to program any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So whenever our cast, because you're casting a film, they jump in and out all the time. So we always had this wrong cast info up. So people would call up and say, "Oh, so and so's in your film." Like, yeah, we want to invest, and then you say, "Well, that's sort of not up to date."
Right, right. Yeah, no, I mean, staying current, especially, I guess, you know, as you said, the process is very kind of dynamic. People coming in and out of the production, timing changes, there's probably a million different things to worry about. So having a flexible thing like this is really clutch. When did you guys, or how much have you guys really kind of, did you guys go into it thinking, yeah, hey, we'll have Facebook, we'll have YouTube? Was there a strategy in the beginning, or was it just kind of adding them on? I know that was a loaded question.
Honestly, I'll be honest with you. As a filmmaker, the whole web thing was like one more headache I gotta think about. Like, come on, it's hard enough making an independent film. You know, it's like, right, we got to do this web thing too. So, it's not a lot of creative energy has gone into the web thing for us, because it's like, yeah, we're in the editing room. We're dealing with a million other things, and like the web thing is like something we kept putting off because it was not priority number one. And when you're trying to get this thing in the can and get it locked, it's never going to get the presence in your mind that you know it probably should.
So who out here actually has a film playing this week at South by Southwest? Anyone? And how many of you guys, just by show of hands, put, I guess, a large amount of effort into their website or thinks they put a lot of effort into their website, if anyone? That guy right there. You're working hard. I love it. It's great. From my perspective, it's almost shocking that, you know, I guess as a web producer or director, and if I'm working on a major budget site, you know, there are things that I don't want to worry about. But one thing I always do keep in mind is marketing and PR. And almost before anything goes live, I've already got in place, you know, files for the press, blurbs for blogs, so on and so forth. And I think the two products are pretty similar. Like if you're coming out with, a microsite or a film or anything that's entertainment-based and going to be kind of pushed in front of an audience, that you would naturally, you know, embrace the web and use it to your best advantage. There are tons of, you know, offerings on the web for templates and very easy to use tools that can get things like video streamers into pages and build cheap sites. And I think those are good for, you know, the first few phases. Once you start getting into branding the film and getting your legs kind of like running and getting towards things like these festivals, then you might want to kind of approach someone to help you along the way. Are there any questions about just like these simple things? Just step up to a mic.
Yeah, how did you take your 150 megabyte file and crunch it down to 10 megabytes streaming and let it look so good?
I came out of Adobe Premiere H.264 compression, and then from that point I compressed it into an FLV, which is a flash video file, and then that file gets pulled right into this player right here. This player is actually an open source player that you can find on the web. The nicest feature of it, of course, is that you can, once you're playing the file, icon in the lower right-hand corner gives you full screen capability. So, you know, it's just a nice little thing, and it's free. So if you can get any of your QuickTimes or any other video files down to an FLV for an export, then you can start distributing it through Flash. It's pretty easy.
You know, I actually was wondering, we haven't asked Tim this yet, but I watch a lot of trailers on Apple's website. They have their trailer QuickTime page. Mm-hmm. And now we've just finished getting this film. We retransferred the negative to HDSR, and now we've got the ability to do an HD cam trailer, and we could theoretically also support now a 720p trailer or a 1920 trailer.
Totally.
So that's something I want to like even think about in the future, is getting into higher, because there's production value in the fact that we shot on film, and somewhere I want to go with it, you know, because I'm always blown away by the trailers on Apple's site. That I don't know
they're
how they
beautiful
stream them, but they're gorgeous. Yeah,
yeah, well, Apple's got some fast machines. That's probably a big help.
Is that why it's being served so fast? Is that why it can do it?
Yeah. It's the deployment. Usually, a major film or a studio, they use a CDN, which is a content delivery network. It's a bunch of servers placed around the globe and gives you the fastest possible connection. Independent filmmakers, I doubt, would have enough budget to kind of throw around for a CDN. You're talking about like $1 a meg per stream over, you know, how many users. Could lead into the thousands per month. So, I mean, there are ways around that. I mean, there's nothing better looking than a nice HD 720p trailer versus something like this. But, you know, that could be something that is downloadable. It doesn't necessarily have to be streamed out. Next question.
Hi, my name's Tom Parrish, and I pimped the film or worked with the web marketing for an independent film called Desert Bio Movie.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I did a couple things. I'm just curious if you do these too and you didn't mention them, or if you had something to say negative or positive about it. We got them to communicate with other bloggers who are into movie reviews and critics and things like that, to get a sort of a cross buzz going.
Sure, like a key opinion leader or like choice bloggers, that sort of thing. Certainly.
Takes a little extra work, of course.
I think just to echo the earlier statement that, like, once you're in production, you don't you look at it as like another headache, you know, yeah, going ahead. Yeah, so, I mean, unless you've got someone kind of dedicated to that, that's key. And that leads into what I was talking about, those tentacles earlier. So if you're...
And the other thing, though, was what we did was we, you know, we ran into the same problems. They were tired of doing all the stuff they needed to do. But we did some interviews with the director and some of the key people who were in the movie. In this case, it was a documentary, so it was a little bit different.
Sure.
And used Blog Talk Radio and posted all that up on the website. And it was really a lot of traffic that came from, you know, reposting the audio interviews and,
sure,
and things like this.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, press is, you know, press is the best thing. They've got a section for press in there as well. And whatever they've received these last few days, we've been able to just throw it up there relatively quickly. I mean, that's a great point about reaching out to bloggers. You know, it's a lot easier to reach 100 people by using 10 people than having to go out by yourself and speak to those 100 people. So let them continue the message. Next.
I actually run a blog / official site for an actor by the name of Channing Tatum, and the majority of my traffic that comes in is via the search engines. I know that you mentioned a lot of these sites are in Flash, and I completely understand why, because they're it's much more gorgeous.
Are you going to say SEO? Search engine optimization?
Exactly. How do you combat Flash?
No, I mean, search engine optimization in Flash, that argument I encounter almost on a daily basis. There are techniques that will be workarounds. Technically speaking, you create a additional layer of content, a div layer. You know, everyone knows the spoof. And will the search engines defeat that? Probably the same way they defeated like putting your name on a white page in white text 1,000 times. Sure, they'll probably eventually.
Well, I think they're okay with that at this point. But you just can't put a lot. I mean, you can't put, you know, a whole entire website's worth of data into a div tag and expect the whole entire site to rank extremely well. So
yeah,
that's the biggest issue with that. But I have had to do it for sites, for clients that have come in, and it's a full-on Flash site, and there's nothing else that we can do.
Sure.
But I was wondering if maybe there was something new that I'm
no,
missing.
No, not yet. If, okay. And if, you know, I'll email you when I find out.
Thank you. Appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome.
Okay.
This question's for the filmmakers. Now, seeing what's been done, and going through the whole process, is there anything, and budget in mind here, and that's kind of where my question goes, knowing that everything you have resource-wise goes into making the film, were there some things that you learned through this process that you could have done differently, other than what Mr. Nolan talked about, for free, that you know, if you had this knowledge, what were some of the things you might have done differently or will do on the next film to get to this point that really don't cost a lot or are very inexpensive?
A good question. I think one thing was, you know, we did take some production stills, but we didn't have a lot of content that we designed towards the web in terms of our production stills. So I think I would have gotten more images from the film. I know we gave you some of them, but
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think we pulled all we have, and there weren't that many.
I mean, they're all basically used here in the background. I mean, there wasn't a great deal, and that's what I was kind of touching on earlier about. You know, I know it's a headache and it's another thing to worry about, but even if it's just production stills, just having that additional kind of pool of content ready to go is key. I did a interactive film for Lowe's. They're like a hardware store or something like Home Depot. Not super exciting, but the end product is actually cool. You saw some of it in the trailer. And, you know, for every day of shooting, we had a separate area set up aside just for that reason, shooting additional content. You know, whether it's having them stand in front of a small HD camera and just getting some looped kind of behaviors, or even just getting still photography that will get used in print and other marketing materials.
I mean, when you approach this, too, there are other thoughts that came through my head. I was like, oh, I wish we had, like, just our guys against the green screen running around with the cameras, so that we could cut them out and
one
make them small.
One scene that I wanted more than anything was a top-down view of a carpet being rolled out that you obviously shot on green. And
no,
that would have been
a fucking awesome
page.
I know. We thought about that.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the budget at that point.
Yeah.
We were going to do a day of just carpet on rolls and put our titles over it.
That, like, stuff like that, I mean, it's just one extra day, and I know studios are expensive.
We shot it in 21 days, so there was that's not enough to make a feature to begin with.
Yeah, so. That's true.
But
true.
I mean, maybe also to answer your question, I mean, I don't have any regrets that we didn't push the website while we were shooting the film. I don't know how much you're really going to get out of your website during production. It's now's the time we got to get the site up, and we got a great break here. I mean, Tim says, going to redo your website. So it worked out. I mean, it's part of making independent films is like little miracles happening along the way. So this is a huge break. It happened at the right time. I don't regret that we didn't push the site harder during production. I don't know what we would have gotten out of it at that point. Now's the time to publicize the film. I kind of thought it was a good strategy to hold back on. And we got some offers for some local publicity during production. We kind of held back on that. I think when you come out with your film, you want to go 110% at that moment. Here's our moment to start getting a buzz going on the film. Until this moment, I didn't see a need to push web or publicity too hard. There's no regrets that I didn't do something more during production. You know, that I do think it's smarter to put your energy into your film at that point. But now, yeah, it was a great break getting Tim in to do it now. And we are going to continue to maybe develop this site as well. I've got some more ideas of what we want to do to explode it out, but. So, you know, there might be something to be said for just, you know, knowing that you're going to need it and planning it in advance, and we probably didn't do a good job with that. But during production, my advice is still probably to stick to your priority, make a good film first, and then, you know, think about this as something that you need to do on your launch. But before that, you know, unless you haven't raised all your funds, which then it could be a good tool for. I don't know if you agree with that, but
well, you know, I mean, we're coming at it from two separate angles. Everything that I want is for this, and everything. I've of course understand that you need to craft your product first before you want anyone even seeing it. I think the only point I was making was that, like, while you're doing it, shoot some extra stuff.
I think you are. I mean, if you think about a set, though, it's hurry up and wait, and everybody's standing around.
Yeah.
If we had just gotten the guy with the video camera to interview John Polito, who could go for about 4 or 5 hours of gold, you know, we would have it all right now.
Yep.
So,
next question.
Yeah. So, I made a film back in 2005 called Star Wreck, and what was my main focus on the film website was actually the community around the film itself. I'd like to ask you and maybe the filmmakers, how do you feel, what's the importance of community in this kind of a web promotion? Because what we did was that actually we ended up using a lot of stuff that our community provided for us, and that kind of made it sort of a collaborative film experience. And I think that that was a pretty good reason that the film was very successful on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, community is great, and I think... you know, not every website needs a community. I think maybe documentaries or films that are kind of geared around a certain clique or social movement, community is a very strong tool for that. And you can also use that community to leverage gaining things like user-generated content, continuing the story of your film without being... actively involved and kind of allowing it to grow organically is a great tool. I don't know if there's a huge community of carpet employees who've gone to make, you know, wedding videos. Like, it might not have fit this particular project, but definitely it's a great tool.
But we, you know, we do have that thought in the back of our minds, and it's come up in a few conversations that. You know, this is a film about weddings. The wedding angle is what we want to push. It's a good marketing tool. Wedding films sell. And the community for us would be people's wedding videos. This is a movie about wedding videographers. There's the end credits are real wedding videos that we shot back in film school when we were paying our way through film school doing wedding videos. So there's so many funny wedding videos out there if there is a community...
That's totally... You have a YouTube channel for the separate site. Just the videographer, you know, and then that's where you could do like a user upload.
That's where you were going with that, right? To have the Lou Burns, you know, Hall of Fame wedding video clips and rank them and have people vote on their funniest wedding video clips.
Or submit your own wedding video clips or something like that.
And you got, you know, so there's a whole market of wedding videographers out there that probably have archival footage in there. It's like that one wedding where this, you know, the bride fell on her cake or whatever. And then you got our own, you know, tying that into our film. It's a good if you can get a little buzz, if you can get an extra article in Bride magazine, it's another bit of publicity about your film. It's all about finding every angle you can to promote your film, and when you find out what your angle is, and for us it's definitely going to be the wedding thing. You know, that's the community we want to get into. So
Especially for everything that I've heard and sort of feel is that for indie films, if you have a very small community that's very specialized, for instance, if you did something on a minor league baseball team in North Carolina, I mean, get everybody who you can who lives in that town or whatever on your community because they're going to buy your DVDs. So I don't think it's never too late to start, too early to start building that.
Hi. Coming from the feature film side, I think that, you know, developing your web strategy is something you have to do basically at the same time you start writing your screenplay. And I don't think that necessary filmmakers should be doing the website or learning how to do Flash because, you know, when you're trying to make a movie, you can't really focus on, you know, developing a website. So I think it should be built into every filmmaker's budget, you know, however small, right from the start, that there is someone developing your web element because, yeah, you shoot some extra footage, but is that what they can really use anyway? So I think that should be a whole separate strategy that should start right from the beginning, as well as developing, you know, a community that you have in place so that when your film is done, you know, you have people that are already interested in it. Because I think, you know, having a website is great, but what's it going to do for you unless it gets you eyeballs or people buying your film? So that whole, I think, just as important is the whole distribution element of it. Because you have a great website now and people at, you know, South by Southwest are going to see your film. So what? You know, after that, what are you going to do? Are you going to get a distributor through that? Are you going to have a theatrical release? What's, you know, I think the really interesting...
Are you going into the area of that we could self-distribute it through the web?
So that's what I'm interested in. Like, how can you use that, utilize your web presence to actually, you know, to be on Apple Trailer or to get on IMDb or to, you know, if every indie filmmaker has their own little website, at the end of the day, there's going to be lots of websites, and how is that going to increase your, you know, your audience? So that's sort of what I'm... struggling with or trying to.
Do you want to talk about web distribution and get into that subject? Because that's a can of worms. I mean, there's an argument that we may be moving that way and that there's this do-it-yourself distribution that we're not that far away from. I mean, technically it's...
Well, it's digital distribution. Yeah.
It seems like it. I mean, obviously for our film, we think we have theatrical potential, so we're going to be going there first, and they're going to get pretty pissed off if we've been selling copies of our movie online. So we can't start that process yet. You know, that's something maybe down the line.
Exactly, but that's a real bind. You know, now you're trying to find a distributor who's going to release it theatrically. But at the same time, you know, you also, if you don't find a distributor, you want to be able to use alternate.
You should check out, there's a website called, I think it's Workbook Project. And it's all about this guy who's becoming like a self-taught genius on self-distributing over the web and other stuff. So if you're interested in that, you should look at his site.
Yeah, there's a few sites out there. I'm just wondering, you know, want to put that into the room, where is this all going for distribution?
I guess where I would come from on this is I run a flash shop, so we do some of these sites. And, you know, this is, you know, it's a nice, you know, XML, you know, flash site, which I don't think I would ever encourage someone who doesn't do ActionScript to try to do.
Do you mean in the building of it or in the
building of it. So whoever creates this is going to be someone who's got a couple years with ActionScript, kind of knows what they're doing.
Yep.
You know, shop like Firstborn, you can do these things on the, you know, when things slow down, you can throw a couple of things in your queue. You know, I've been going to a lot of films and I go to these things and I get really excited, like, oh God, you know, I have a vision for this site. I'd love to do this site. And then, you know, like, it, you know, oh, I should just do this thing. Then I'm like, oh, these guys are freaking poor. They're not going to have the budget for it. And, you know, we've done these film sites, but by and large, you're not going to make a lot of money off of it because exactly what you're saying, the filmmakers, this is not, it doesn't seem to always be their priority from day one to set aside a budget for it. And I guess what I'd want to say is, you know, if, you know, we're not talking about throwing out freebies or doing it for your buddies, you know, what is a realistic budget for a site like this?
I mean, I've worked prior to Firstborn at a shop called Big Spaceship, also in New York, and one of our biggest clients was Sony Pictures. So did sites for films like The Grudge, Alfie, a couple others. But, you know, I mean, the budgets for these sites can range, you know, anywhere from 40 to 100, which is kind of, I mean, in my industry, that's small. When we work on something for, like, Microsoft, JCPenney's, HP, we're talking about budgets that are 250K and up. So
we could make another film for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that's just like people's film budgets out here, which is gross. Especially when you build a site for, like, JCPenney for 150K, and it lives for 30 days, and then it's just torn down because it's not back to school. But back to your point about... What's a decent budget? This is, as you guessed, Flash and XML, and was done for. I think the full build. I think I did in two nights, two like 8-hour sessions, from like 10 p.m. to 4 or something like that, and slapped it together. I mean, when you're talking about like action script, you know, I've got a slew of kids who work for me that are straight out of school. And this is a type of project. Those are the type of people you're kind of looking for. Maybe use the web to kind of find developers' communities, people that are willing to take on a project like this for you know, a couple grand. And it's also sustainable. By using XML, everything is external, and you never really have to revisit the developer unless you're going to make a major change to your site.
If I could just make one follow-up comment.
Yeah.
This type of project to me seems like a perfect opportunity for scope creep.
Every project has scope creep.
Well, yeah, but you know, particularly like, you know, having done these types of projects, any project where the person who is creating the content is like an auteur, you know, and it's a labor of love, they're uh-huh. always going to expect you to match it.
Right.
So what happens is they're going to, you know, someone comes in here and like, this is a firstborn, you know, you're a firstborn guy, this is, you know, but like, The firstborn sites might have a, you know, for JCPenney, you're going to be throwing in a lot more production value.
Totally.
And you know, and like, it's great to dream big and to say to do the green screen thing and to have your kids at the shop do it. But at the, you know, at the end of the day, if there's billable work, you're going to have the kids work on the billable stuff. And you're not going to do the full, you know, After Effects integration type thing. This is going to be a pretty simple site.
Yeah.
And I think it's just very useful just to sort of set expectations that, you know, if a web design shop is going to be doing your site, it's not going to be the same caliber as the thing that they're probably doing.
No,
for
I mean this
30 days
at
night or whatever.
Yeah,
a big
yeah.
Spaceship
this was totally just a like, you know, as if I was an independent contractor. I didn't run through my studio. This was just what gave me dark rings under my eyes for the last couple days.
Yeah, I got those too. Thanks, man.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, it's just one up, yeah, though, right? Just,
yeah, I mean, well, things
I would,
like...
I would say, too... Oh, go ahead.
The question was for the filmmaker?
Well, no, we got... I would say, it. You know, our website didn't get that many hits until we got into South by Southwest. And then even that original beta one you had, we started getting a lot of... Because you can tell by who was emailing that info@marconibros.com. I think it's I think the film is great too, but
it could be just a great movie. I mean,
but no, I think the website helps a lot, and people who weren't here that I've gotten feedback from that are not at South by but heard about it and then went to the website and said, "Hey, the trailer looks great because it's not a piece of crap that we had up there before." And I saw your great press; that's helped.
But I don't know. Maybe another question is: do we have a way of tracking how many hits we've gotten?
So metrics,
we haven't found that out yet.
Metrics, which are very important, like Google Analytics, Google being the great company that it is. Provides many services to web developers. Google Analytics is a free service that will allow you to not only track the amount of visitations that you have coming into your site, but you can get a few layers more complex. You can find out how many people have watched the trailer. In our trailer, we've got a sniffer, which is granted, you know, you're going to have like a more advanced developer build this in, but we can see the length of time that people have watched the trailer. So if we see an extreme drop-off in visitations at 1 minute and 3 seconds, we know there's something wrong with the first minute and 3 seconds of the trailer. And, you know, taking into consideration the attention span of an average web user is probably less than, you know, if you're going to experience a trailer in a theater or any other type of media. Things like metrics are very important. They're also small, very simple ways of adding in additional layers of programming to figure out, like, who and where emails are coming from and what section of your site. But I think the most important one is getting Google Analytics to just see the spikes in traffic, like, or based around, like, events like South by Southwest or any other kind of major marketing push that you might have. And just finding out who's watching your stuff and for how long, I think, is a useful bit of information.
Quick question.
Sure.
What advice would you give, actually for you, Tim, would you give an advertising agency that's just merged interactive production, which is what you do, with broadcast production, which is kind of what filmmakers do? That's it.
What would I do? At Firstborn, we've kind of taken a very aggressive approach to all things broadcast and film, the emergence of HD and its ability to be plugged into sites and distributed all around the web. We've built out our own kind of production studio in-house. We've got like a 50 by 50 foot green room where we can shoot all of our own original content. And that came out of frustration from working with advertising agencies who would give us suboptimal assets for use on web. You know, like key the guy out in the blue shirt who's standing in the blue background holding the blue, you know, glass of water. And you're like, wow, he's supposed to be separated from the background. So it's kind of like ownership, I guess, taking ownership of the content and self-production. I don't know how that works into you guys specifically or at all, but that sounds like more of an advertising question.
My question is, I work with a lot of clients who really can't even afford to spend a few $1,000s doing websites, and whenever I work help with websites, I stay away from this because it gives me a huge headache. sure, you know, a lot of filmmakers would agree, like, this is not an area that I, you know, have a background in. And I'm trying to learn more and more. I just wanted to ask you, what would be a good program to kind of learn how to use and kind of start to use something kind of that can do, you know, a lot of good stuff with video, but it's something that I can take my time and learn. And, like, what would you recommend to someone trying to learn how to do this?
Like the building?
Yes, of the building site? Of it.
Flash is probably the quickest and easiest thing to do. If you're a filmmaker, it's going to be somewhat familiar. I mean, I wouldn't suggest that a filmmaker make their own site in Flash, but if you're going to be working in interactive and you want to pursue multimedia sites and rich media sites, Flash is by far your best tool. It's very familiar and friendly. You can start off by not having any kind of programming skills or savvy, and you can work with animation and timeline, and it's something that's, I think, easy enough to pick up in a, you know, take a month, you can learn it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's the challenge of designing a website is something I feel like I'm a pretty technical guy. I can design DVDs, I can edit on 3 different editing platforms, and can pretty much tackle most, you know, of these computer applications. But for some reason, it's always intimidating to me, that interface with the web. Like, I probably could do
a
Photoshop.
They're all timelines, though. I mean, like Flash, Final Cut, After Effects, yeah. They're all like, here's your movie, and then here's a timeline, and here's some layers of audio and some layers of video.
Yeah.
So that's, I kind of look at it, it's like all the, sort of all the same.
So can I just play the devil's advocate?
Yeah.
You know, on this. So when I've done this for movies, for guys that come to me that need visibility on the web, it's really what we're talking about here, to help promote the website, what I've recommended is on the lower end of things, just get started with a WordPress or a Typepad blog.
Sure.
My problem with Flash has been, I'm not a Flash guy, but I have done a lot of search engine optimization, and Flash hasn't proven to be particularly easy for me to be visible quickly in the internet, which was part of the purpose of being on the internet. And so, you know, that's just, I'm just saying what I've done on the other side. I'm curious if you've taken that approach. Get the media, get the clips, get the interviews, get stuff going, and then come back and have someone maybe make some CSS changes to have it have that sort of spit and shine look that you want, so that it fits the motif of what the movie is about.
Sure.
Admittedly, CSS is not as sophisticated as what you can do in Flash, but if what you want to do is get media up and get that media distributed out to the edge of the internet, then a simple blog is a great way to start. You can have static pages on blogs too.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think just choosing this direction rather than creating like a web standard CSS driven WordPress makeover would be the fact that we're leveraging Facebook, YouTube, and these other social medias to kind of reach that outer rim and then use that strategy to drive back to the site. So I mean, it's similar idea of making your content searchable through external sources, but also giving it like a nice home to drive back to. I think that was the approach. Huh. Well, they're nice guys.
How much do we owe?
They told me they were gonna fly me home. Oh boy, if I was gonna approach this just like as a side project, you know, I mean, I think this could be done, including like the legwork of gathering assets and compressing files. You know, I think any average freelancer would be happy with about $5K for something like this. I mean, I did do like 2 weeks of work in 3 days or so. So it's hard to kind of gauge how that would bill out. And there was just one person. There was no developer, no designer, no review, which was also very nice. I was kind of just given carte blanche by Mr. Fix to just let me do whatever my interpretation was, which was very liberating because you don't have constant reviews, as I'm sure you sound like you're familiar with the process, which really impedes the whole kind of creative process. So this was kind of just a quick handshake deal and just banged it out. But I'd say about $5,000, somewhere around there. Anyone else? Yes?
Yeah, I mean, we were mixing the film until about a week ago, you know, doing crazy mix hours and color correcting it in Minnesota, so we were flying back and forth from Minnesota. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of reviews of this. We kind of trusted his instinct. I figured if he's on a panel at South by Southwest, he must be pretty good. And I thought, all right, well, let's see what he's got. And he impressed us, I mean, definitely. So I thought, you know, I guess it's important, like, we didn't come out and seek him out. He connected to our trailer. So I figured if someone that's connecting to the humor and the comedy of the trailer, they're going to, and he actually screened the film as well and connected to the film. So, you know, I think a lot of times collaborations, especially when you're not paying for them and someone's doing it because they like, that's the best kind of collaboration because you're sharing a vision, you know. So I always try and find the DP that's going to work for free because he loves the script, as opposed to the great DP that I'm paying because I'm going to get his paycheck effort as opposed to the guy that's doing it from his heart.
Well, we could argue
that.
Sometimes free isn't good.
No, well, by the same token, we had offers of people that wanted to do barter. You know, along the way, we had a couple people that you know, we knew, oh, we should do something with this website. And there was one step in the process where someone that was just starting out wanted to do a web design for us for their reel or something, and we thought, oh, can you say no to that? And it was a disaster. We took it off so quickly. It made the film look like it was made with a Pixel Vision camera. And
so we have a very short amount of time, like 3 or 4 minutes. Were we drinking last night? Yeah, totally. Let's do it again tonight. Yeah, garage bands, right? All right, cool.
Sometimes looking at other websites and having that
Yeah, real quick. Sure. Right, right, yeah. YouTube quality sucks. It's, yeah. I mean, it's good for getting like little like shaving a haircut, like quick little bits, and but always drive back to the quality. Whether you're looking to sell your services or just have a film look, you know, as beautiful as it can on a web browser. There was one more question, and then we'll wrap.
I'm wondering if you're thinking at all about these websites for mobile devices. What your thoughts are.
Yeah, I always am. I love looking at things on my, you know, mobile device. Doesn't work at all. Specifically for the web, sorry. Like I said, it was 2 days. You know, there was no great strategy of weeks and weeks. Strategy was developed in like 2 days, so...
Our trailer plays on an iPhone, on YouTube, so we have that backup. You know, it's on. We have a MySpace page as well. We have a YouTube.
But
page.
You know, we offer the trailer as a download MP4, which you put right onto your iPod. So, that's about the extent of it. I think that's a wrap. I'm getting the cut. Sorry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good day.